Good morning. If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. You know, last week, we looked at the command that Jesus gave to wait until the Holy Spirit was to come. And you know, when we are obedient to what God says, we'll find the rewards and the power that we need for our lives each and every day as we live for Christ. And so Jesus instructs his disciples to go. He had a gift for them. Now, again, gifts are given at a particular place, aren't they? In other words, if you're going to get a gift from your parents at Christmas, you're usually either at their house or they sent you one and it's under the tree. If you're going to get a birthday present, that usually means you're going to get a present on what? Your birthday, okay? There's a place in which God does his work. Well, one of the things we find in the scripture, Jesus said to go and wait. And there in the upper room, there on that Pentecost Sunday, which was 7 weeks after Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way. Why was that important? Because Jesus said to them, he said, you're going to be witnesses for me throughout the whole world. First Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, we talked about this before. The word witness really is the word for the word martyr. And so they were going to be martyrs. Jesus knew that to live the Christian life, we need to be supernaturally supercharged. I like that. Because we'll never do anything by just existing. God wants us to step out in faith. It's like Peter, when he saw Jesus walking on the stormy seas. He said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come out there and get in the water with you. And so Jesus said, come on. He climbs out of the boat, starts walking. I think he probably realized, I can't do this. He was 100% right and began to sink. Now, Jesus reached out, pulled him back up, and he goes on to record for many of us to recognize that Peter was the one that got out of the boat and sank. However, he was the only one other than Jesus we find recorded for us in Scripture that walked on the water even for a short time as Jesus did. What an experience that had to be. Let's pray. Father, as we go to your word this morning, we ask you that your Holy Spirit would empower us, that you would convict us, God, that you would drive us into a deeper relationship and a heart with you. God, we know we live in very, very trying times, and we know that you have great, wonderful gifts for those people who are called by your name. So this morning, may your Holy Spirit come. May your Holy Spirit speak to us. May your Holy Spirit sustain us, God, in these days that we live in. And may we truly be the witnesses for you that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Acts chapter 2, this is where we find that the day of Pentecost had fully come. It was an Old Testament feast in which it was the time of first fruits and grain offering. They would wave the offerings before the Lord and they'd bring them into the temple. And so God had a first fruits for all of us as well. He had a wave offering, if you will. Now again, the Old Testament feasts are simply fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. So again, as we look at Passover, for instance, which to this day the Jewish community holds in high regard, but really it was speaking of Jesus Christ. And that when that blood of Jesus was shed on the door of our heart, that death angel passed over. Well, we find that all of these are fulfilled. And so we find in verse 1 of chapter 2, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in accord in one place. Now, Pentecost speaks of 50. Penta is 5. And they were there. Now, again, what's interesting, Jesus rose on Sunday. 50 days later, we have Pentecost Sunday. Something weird in the Bible with the number 7 or 70. You'll find it all the way through the Bible in these different times that it shows up that 7 weeks after Jesus rose from the dead, we find the imparting of the power of God to believers. Most of you know that next month on the 14th of May, Israel celebrates its 70th birthday. I do believe that we will see some things this year based upon that. Now, God is not held by any set of numbers or numerology, but following the pattern of God through the Bible, I believe you're going to see some pretty interesting things beginning and after Israel turns 70 years old. And again, because of the basis that we find in the rest of the scripture for that. So we find here as we look, he says that they were in one place literally 7 weeks after Jesus rose from the dead. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now, it doesn't say that there was wind. It says there was a sound like wind. Now, this is when the Holy Spirit was imparted to the believers. And it's something, friends, I believe is really important. God is in the miracle working business. I've had people ask me, well, why was the Bible so filled with all kinds of miracles and today we don't see anything? It's because you're not looking. I was talking to one of the brothers in our church, Rudy, and he was at wit's end. He was telling me a few weeks ago that he needed $300,000 for a back operation. It's okay for me to share this, isn't it? And he didn't know what to do. And we did the Holy Ghost gang up on him. We prayed for him, and he's fine now. And saved $300,000 and didn't have to be all chopped up. So that's pretty cool. God is still in the miracle working business, whether it was back then or today. But the thing is, I think people aren't tuned in to see what God's doing. What is one thing going on in your life today where you need the power of God in your life? Well, I do believe that the Holy Spirit fills us for a reason. It's not just, and I shared this last week, to flex our muscles and to show how great and how powerful we are, but that we actually put feet to our faith and see what God's going to do. And so he says, there suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, this word wind is ruah. And we find that this sound of God, this wind came into this place where they were all gathered together. And notice it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, as one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is an interesting thing because, as we're going to read on here, what these tongues are. Now, there's a lot of discussion about tongues in the church today. A lot of church divisions have happened over tongues in the church. And so we want to look at that. What is that? And is it important? Now, we find here that the Holy Spirit's been doing great things from the beginning of time. Whether we look at the original creation of Adam and Eve in the garden, we look at all the supernatural miracles that happened at the hand of Moses and Elijah and Elisha and the other prophets. God has been in the miracle-working business since the very beginning. And I think that's really important because of a couple reasons. One, the miracles did not cease with the apostles. God is still in the miracle-working business today. If you're a Christian here today, God has that power for you. It wasn't for just certain people at certain times as it was in the Old Testament, but now it's for everybody what God will do in your life. God has a different gift for every person. And I believe that sometimes we'll find several of those gifts in a congregation, and that's a good thing. But God has a gift to empower us to be about our Father's business. In other words, to drive you beyond what you are physically capable of. Whether it be strength, whether it be insight, whether it be inspiration, whether it be love. Because, friends, we're all finite individuals. What I mean by that is we run out. We run on empty. You know, there's a song years ago on the radio, Running on Empty. Well, I think that's the way most everybody in the world is. Unfortunately, it's the way a lot of Christians are. They're running on empty. Well, does God want us to run that way? No. In fact, the Bible says we're to run because we're going to win. And because we're going to win, God inspires us to do that, to go beyond what our normal capabilities are doing. Now, I believe that all of us as Christians can be gifted and are gifted in different areas naturally. Some people just have a real artistic ability. They can pick up a paintbrush and without sometimes even a lesson, paint a mural. And it's awesome. And I don't know how they do that. You look at sometimes the people that draw the little cartoons, the Peanuts cartoons, you know. And the guy sits down, he makes a circle and then a little nose and a face. And all of a sudden, oh, that's Charlie Brown. How do they do that? I don't know. They see it before they even write it, and all they do is fill in the lines. Some people are just gifted musicians. They can just pick up a guitar, and they can play it. You know, people have asked me, what instrument do you play? And I go, the radio. I mean, I'm not a musician. So the thing is that when we realize there are natural gifts that God gives us. And I think those can be used for the kingdom of heaven in a wonderful, great way. But then we also find supernatural gifts that go beyond our natural abilities that God will give us if we ask Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you being of the world, you being evil, He actually said, know how to give your children good gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, the question is, have we asked? And I believe not only asking once, but asking again so that I don't let that gift of God set in my life. Now, the Bible says, to remember, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, stir up the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands by the church. So the thing is, I can be gifted, you can be gifted as a Christian, but you can have your car in neutral or in park and not be using what God's given you. Now the thing is that sometimes when we look at these verses in the Bible, we always think they're talking about somebody else and not about us. God has good gifts for those that love Him. If you're a born-again Christian listening to this today, God's got something new He wants to do in your life. God, the number one thing that I found God will do in our lives is He kicks out the end of the coffin and because we can get ourselves in ruts really easy. And so we just end up paralyzed in our spiritual relationship. You are who give the Bible a voice. You are who give the Bible feet and hands. And so because of that, God empowers us to do certain things. Now, what is a gift? A gift is something that someone gives you without any strings attached, okay? Otherwise, it'd be a paycheck. Well, I worked real hard, and I got this, and therefore, I worked hard all week, and here's my paycheck. That is not a gift, friends. That is called wages. Big difference. But a gift is something that you didn't do anything for, yet you have it because God has given it to you. Now, first we find the gift of salvation. What did we do to earn salvation? Well, I got out there and I did a lot of really spiritual things, you know. Sold some flowers in airports, you know. Wore green on Environmental Day. Drive a Prius. I do drive one. Okay, I'm sorry. But the point is that we sometimes think that because I did something makes me entitled to get something. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world, whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God gave you and me eternal life. What did I do to earn it? Nothing. I just said, okay. Well, that's great. That's good. They came to Jesus. What must we do to things pertaining to the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, believe that the Father has sent me. The only thing I have to do to receive the gift of eternal life is, as the Bible says, to repent, which means you're giving up the way you used to live and receive what Jesus Christ has done for you as your Savior. So that's pretty simple, friends, really, when you think about it. We just simply receive what God has for us. Well, the Bible talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's that about? You simply receive it the same way. You ask, you believe, and God initiates it in your life. Now, here's a couple of things that I think are really important about the power of the Holy Spirit. What will I expect if I'm Spirit-filled? It's really weird. And I'm, you know, there's things sometimes that as I read, I don't completely get, and I've been praying about it. But in the book of Acts, we remember that there was a guy named Simon the Sorcerer, and he was a magician. He made his living by sleight of hand. You know, you see Chris Angel and some of these other ones that are on TV sometimes, and they make submarines appear on the stage, and or they'll make a whole army tank disappear and all these different things. You know, how do they do that? Well, oftentimes, in fact, they even some of these, if you go into some of the department stores, they'll have these little magic kits that you buy, and you will buy, and then inside it will tell you or give you the modified deck of cards or the modified vase or whatever it is, and you'll buy the trick. You'll buy their information. You'll buy how to do the sleight of hand or to deceive the person that you are watching. Well, the thing is, Simon the Sorcerer went to Peter after Peter did a notable miracle and said, I want to buy this gift from you. I want to buy this. How do I buy this? And Peter said, your money perishes with you. And when we look at that, because he thought that the gift of the Holy Spirit, because he said, your heart is not right with God, thinking that you could buy the gift or the power of God. Now, here's the question. What did Simon the Sorcerer see that Peter and the other disciples were doing that was so dynamic, so important, so incredible that he tried to buy it? Was it just, well, I pray for you, brother, and in Jesus' name, amen, and you're being filled with the Spirit? Go. I don't think Simon the Sorcerer would have been trying to buy that kind of an understanding. I think what Simon the Sorcerer was looking for was the dynamic power of God that he saw. And I don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit will manifest in your life, but Paul tells us in Corinthians chapter 12 that some people have one gift, some have another gift, but all in all, it's to work together. That is, in fact, it would be like Jesus Christ being in the church, because we have all the different gifts. The gift of healing, which, as I shared earlier, with one of the brothers in church. And the word of knowledge, and some of the things that we have to be mindful of. There's a lot of things going on that make, first of all, a family, or a church. And second of all, you have to have it driven by the Holy Spirit, not by man's organization. A lot of people think that if a church is working well or everything, because we're following a set of rules. But rather, if we really look at what the Bible has to say, it works because the Holy Spirit is in charge, and he's the one, he's the orchestrator, if you will, of what's going on in the body. God wants you to be Spirit-filled. God wants you to be empowered. God wants to give you a gift. You know, I believe that a lot of times as we live our lives as Christians, we run on empty. As I said earlier, God wants to fill you up with his Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, I just come out of church going, zingo! Is that what it is? That we got a buzz on? No. I believe that the Holy Spirit empowers us to see this world the way Jesus sees it. Now, that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does when we become born again. But the thing is, I need to continue to see that. Otherwise, we will be ineffective in reaching this world for Christ. Why? We'll settle for a status quo. In other words, all things remain as they are. I'm part of that the way they are. And so we'll just sit down and shut up. No. That isn't what God wants us to do. We see it the way God sees it. What do we see when we see the world? Well, there's a lot of things. You know, when you look at the newspaper, when I look at the newspaper, I look at all the things going on in the world right now. I think a lot of people go, oh, it's just too much of a headache. I don't even listen to the news. Well, I got to tell you, based upon what we do know of our American news media, maybe not so bad. That's pretty corrupted. But here's the point. We know something is going on. We see the issues around the world. I don't care whether you look at North Korea or you look at the Middle East or you look at Russia or you look at Europe. There are things going on in our world daily. Now, it isn't that they just go on, because they're always going to go on. But as the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, we begin to see life through God's eyes rather than our own eyes. See, if we don't see it through God's eyes, it'll cause a couple of things. One, we'll get distracted if we don't see it through God's eyes. And here's why. Because we'll major on the minor, minor on the majors. But when we see it through God's eyes, I believe we begin to see it for what it is. When we look at people, oh, people just drive me nuts. I'd go to church, but I just around all those people. Yes, that's the point. We're here because we're ministers. You are God's hands. You are God's feet. You are God's voice to people. If I'm not filled with the Spirit, what'll happen is I can go into materialism. I can go into what's in it for me. I can go into it, wow, this will really build my company up. Rather than seeing people and their desperate need for a Savior. Somebody that'll just walk up and say, oh, you're hurting? Can I pray for you? See, you don't know that God may have given you the gift of healing. You don't know that the God of heaven may have given you a word of knowledge. I remember many years ago, I was in a church and I was with my sister. And this man just had a word of knowledge. It was a very strange thing. I've only seen it demonstrated legitimately that I know of twice in my life in a congregation. The first time that I ever saw it was where my sister was asking, she says, I don't know whether I should marry this guy or not. I've been really praying and I don't know. And I said, well, why don't you come to church with me? And so she said, okay. So we were sitting probably about two-thirds of the way back in church, and the guy's up there in front, and all of a sudden he just stops and he just says, God's given me a word for some people here. And now, you have to remember, I had accepted the Lord as my Savior. I had asked the Lord to fill me with His Holy Spirit. But starting to see demonstrations of the Holy Spirit in a way that I was not used to in the churches that I attended, this was really different. And he started going through the audience, and he said, you two, come up here. And I remember she pointed to my sister sitting next to me and her fiance. Her prayer was, and Ben, Lord, am I supposed to marry this guy? And this guy looked at this fiance and said, there's three things that make a man: a king, a priest, and a prophet. You've made king and prophet. You haven't made priest. Go sit down. I was astounded. And then he looked at my sister and he said, now you submit. Go sit down. It wasn't a big dissertation. It wasn't reading a chapter, waving hands over her head or anything like that. You see, her question was, is this guy really, really a person who knows you, God, or playing the Christian game because he wants me? And she didn't know. And so once she knew what it was, then her thing was now to submit. And she did, and she broke off the relationship. I remember several years ago, I've shared this before, but this guy had a Jesus bus. Now, you got to remember back in the early 80s, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Pretty much the Jesus movement was kind of waning a bit. But in the Northwest here, there was still a lot of hippie Jesus people, okay? And this guy and his wife, they came to church on a Sunday morning, and they were nice people, and anyway, his Jesus bus broke down. A little screw on the top of the carburetor that holds the screw to put the top of the lid of the air cleaner on actually dropped down, and it wedged on top of the piston. And so when it was running, you could hear this little screw hitting the top, and it was a bad sound. And he says, "I don't know what's wrong, but I'm going to pull the cylinder head. Can I park the church, my bus, in the back of the church?" And I said, "Yeah, okay, you can do that." So he did that. The following Sunday morning, he got it fixed. The following Sunday morning, he comes in, and he had a wife beater T-shirt on that the white sleeves rolled up like this. Had a Bowie knife on the side. And he sits up in front. And I saw it, and I'm going, "What is going on here?" And I'm sharing. He says, "Can I share something?" And I normally would have said no, but because I'd talked to him throughout the week, I said okay. And he stands up, and he looks at everybody, and he goes just like this. He stands here like this, and he goes, "It's all going to come out right now." And then he started going through the crowd and pointing at people. And as he was pointing at people, he said, you're wondering if your son is ever going to accept the Lord. I want you to know that he is. You keep praying for him. And then he said, you come up here. And these guys were visitors. Boy, I bet you that's sure a lot different than getting a free donut in the donut line. And so he comes up and he looks at him. And meanwhile, I'm freaking out. I didn't know what to do. And he looks at him and he goes, "God's been following you all over the world, hasn't he?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, I was in the military in Germany. Yeah, I know God was, people had witnessed to me there." He goes, "Are you going to accept Jesus or die?" And I'm going, "Oh!" And he goes, yeah, I will. And he prays and accepts the Lord right there and then. This guy went on to be in Bible college, and it just was an amazing thing how the power of God works. Now, the reason I share that is because I know God works differently in every situation and in every group of people. But the point is that we need, I believe, as Christians, to be open to what God wants to do in our midst, in our life, by the direction of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You'll go from a Christianity experience of mundane to that of insane. You will not believe what God will do. And here's why God does that. Because he's endeavoring to do something new beyond our own abilities. Friends, we have our own abilities that we can do. And again, sometimes we have talents of being a musician. Sometimes we have talents in art. Sometimes we have talents in administrations and things like this. But this is something that God does beyond those things. Now, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, in the original language in the Greek, this is literally their hometown dialect. In other words, with their own accents and everything. And they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? How is it then we hear them, each one in our own language in which we were born?" Again, going back to that original, you can speak English, and then you can speak English. You know what I'm saying? And they had the right accent. This is what was so amazing to them. Parthians and Medes and Elamites dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Liberia, Adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. That is what they were doing. They weren't preaching sermons. They were just thanking God for who He is. Now, again, something as simple as language, God does this. Some of you may have that gift of tongues. And if you don't, as 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, you have one of the other gifts. And there's all kinds of gifts. There's the gift of healings. There's the gift of miracles. There's the gift of interpretation of tongues. There's all kinds of things that God has for us because we believe in Him and because He wants to give us this power that comes from Him. And it says they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And others mocking said, they're full of wine. Now this is, again, what oftentimes people will attribute things they don't understand. If they see something they don't understand, oh, they're drunk. Well, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah and all those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Now, again, very quickly, and I want to go back up here, it says Peter stands up with the 11. We know that Judas Iscariot went out and killed himself after he denied Christ. Who is the 11th one then? Well, if you go back to the last part of chapter 1, you'll find that they picked Matthias to replace Judas Iscariot. And so it says, he raised his voice and said to them, now by the way, this is the same Peter who denied the Lord three times. I don't know him, and was cussing and swearing that he didn't know it. Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we find a different Peter. Friends, that makes the difference. I remember when I was a kid, I was raised in a church that didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They said they ceased with the apostles. And I was weak and meek, I'll tell you. But you know, when I went to a fellowship that said, hey, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, stand up. I was silly enough to stand up. And God changed my life. And I went from being where I was, I loved Jesus, but I was shy. I just was a shy, shy guy. I was a geek. I was a radio geek. You know, one of those nerdy people. I didn't wear glasses with the tape in the middle and a pocket saver. I did have the pocket saver, but I didn't have the glasses. And I was in my own little world. I loved God, but I was in my own little world of radios. I could play with those. I understood those. I didn't understand people. I don't know that I still do, but I was in my own little world. And then God changed. And what was really weird, and I, you know, because again, we see how the Holy Spirit worked here, and I've explained how I've seen how the Holy Spirit worked in other places. I don't know how God's going to work His wonderful Holy Spirit in your life. I remember when I went down as to bring some food and clothes down to a missionary down in Mexico. And I remember that he said, we're going to go, it's the funniest thing, too, his name was Kevin, and he says, hey, if you can bring M&Ms when you come, that'd be really good. And I said, why? And he said, well, it's hot down here, and they melt in your mouth, not in your hand. And I said, okay. And I thought that was kind of funny. Okay. Guy comes in my office, and he said, I was on deliveries, and he said, this one store in town here, I guess the date on the candies was getting close to the end, and he just said, do you want some M&Ms? And he said, okay. And he goes, I didn't know what to do with a case of M&Ms, so I thought I'd bring them by here to see if you want them. And I go, that's weird. So I put them on the truck with the clothes and the shoes and everything else, and I was on my way down to Mexico. And I remember when I was down there, we were going to do he was going to do a puppet show. He went down in the barrios and would do puppet shows about Jesus. And I remember that there was a, you know, he had the, you know, he set the thing up with the curtain in front and the little screen and everything like that. And so, you know, he had the Bible characters and they were doing this. And he said, you don't have to say anything. Just be one of the characters. And so I'm behind the curtain doing this. And all of a sudden the wind blows and it starts blowing the curtain up so you could see us underneath it. And he looks at me as just as normal as let's go get something to eat. He goes, this happens every time I do this. In the name of Jesus, wind, stop. Died. And I went, whoa. I'd never seen anything like that. Following the presentation, there was about 30 kids there. Esmeralda comes and she says to Kevin, I forgot the M&Ms. All we have is one little bag. And Kevin looks at her and says, it'll be okay, it'll be enough. And I looked at all these kids and I'm going, what are you talking about? And so I remember that he got them all in a line, gave them all little white Dixie cups, and he started pouring. Tore the bag open and started pouring out his little bag. And I saw the kids go over, as any smart kid would do. He took the Dixie cup, poured it in his pocket, got back in line. One saw one do it, they all started doing it. And the line was long, and the bag was small. And the bag just kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. Now, I watched these kids, their little pockets were just bulging with M&Ms. And that bag just kept pouring and pouring. And I'm thinking about in the Bible, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And I thought, this guy's got the gift of miracles. I've never seen anything like it. He rebukes the wind and it dies. He needs M&Ms coming out of a bag so all the kids can have something. And I was just totally amazed. The reason I say this is because when you live your life in the Spirit, expect the supernatural. If you've asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, it'll manifest in different ways. It won't necessarily be fire coming out of the top of your head as it was here. But I can guarantee you, if that's what happened here, God's got a gift for all of you as well. Now notice Peter. Here he says, but Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk with you, suppose, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And friends, that's always the criteria for what we do concerning the things of God. This is which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Or this is that. This is what is found in the scripture. So I'm always leery when I hear about people saying, well, God did something and there's gold dust all over the stage. I don't know about that. I don't read about any gold dust in the Bible. But I do know we have a God that does miracles and he wants to do them through you. And if you're not expecting any miracles in your life as a spirit-filled, born-again believer, friends, you'll never step out in faith to have that happen. You see, again, when we find an... See, God leads us, friends, by unctions. We're moved by the Holy Spirit. How does God move us? Does he have a red-lit neon sign with an arrow going, talk to this one, talk to this one, talk to this one? No, it's just that somehow, as we live our lives, there's something changes when we go into the spiritual world and we'll see somebody, as I've shared before, sitting on a park bench that may need Jesus. Now, why did you focus on the person on the park bench when there's so many other things to look at? I believe this is how we discern the movement of the Holy Spirit in our life. How is it that you'll see somebody and you'll respond to them by going up and saying, how are you? And they begin to just tell you their whole life story and how they have all these different issues in their life. And you say, well, can I pray for you? Well, I've been praying all week for somebody to pray for me. And here you are. Do you realize you are their answer to prayer? Sometimes we mystify the movement or the power of God in that it's eeny, beeny, chilly, beeny kind of thing. It's not the way God works. When we're Spirit-filled, and again, I share this often because Luke so well described it in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, we live, move, exist, and have our being. Like a fish in water, we are in him. And because we're in him and we have the Holy Spirit in us, expect supernatural things in your life for other people. Now, again, it's real easy to be self-centered. That's what a non-Spirit-filled life is like. It's all about me. But a Spirit-filled life changes that and says, okay, God, it's all about you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You'll find your talents, your ability to do things naturally or supernaturally will be used for other people. I've had people come to me and say, Mike, with all your radio knowledge and all your ability to build radio stations, why didn't you just build them for yourself and be a multimillionaire? I said, because that isn't why God gave me that geeky, weird, no tape on the glasses that I didn't have, kind of, you know, personality when I was younger. God combined supernatural gifts with my natural gifts. That's what God does for you. See, the reason I'm sharing this with you is to know what to expect when the Holy Spirit is working in your life as a Spirit-filled believer. It isn't just we're saved to set, and it isn't just, well, one time this guy come up to me and I talked to him. I believe that God wants to do something so unique in every one of our lives, different than we've ever known before, because we live life in the Spirit. Not the Hollywood live life in the Spirit, TV evangelist kind of stuff. By the way, some of the stuff that you see is real, but a lot of it's kind of hokey. But the real thing, the real deal, where God moves us by his Spirit to be about our Father's business. Do you realize that people that you will come in contact with this week have been praying to a God that perhaps they don't even know for a miracle? Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I lost my job. I can't pay my rent. I don't know what to do. I'm worried. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And I'll have another brewski or two or four or ten. I don't know. I don't care. Just so maybe I can. And then you come along and God kind of has them in the gray of life. They're kind of in color glowing. And you walk up and say, how are you? Oh, I'm all right. And then I've done this. I just out of the blue go, can I pray for you? And they break into tears. And I go, see, God has already been preparing that individual's heart for a close encounter of the real kind, all of us, directed by the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is why Peter, who was so shy that he would deny the Lord three times and even start cussing and swearing that he ever knew him, and I mean even a slave girl he would deny the Lord to. Now, notice it says he stands up full of boldness and says, these aren't drunk with wine where you inspect. They're filled with the Spirit. And as the prophet Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord God, verse 17, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And by the way, I believe that visions and dreams thing, I believe that is where in the vision. See, we sometimes super spiritualize things in what a vision is. A vision might just be where God has you, something catches your attention about an individual, and you just go over and talk to them. A dream may be that God reveals to you that there's going to be somebody in your life you're going to need to talk to about him. Not every dream is directly from God. Sometimes it's too much pepperoni pizza at 9 o'clock. But sometimes dreams are real. And sometimes God does communicate to us through those dreams. And he says, And on my menservants and on my maidservants, I'll pour my spirit out in those days, and they shall prophesy. The word prophecy here means to foretell under the anointing of God. Not necessarily to foretell, but to forthtell, or to tell or speak under the anointing of God. And I'll tell you something, for a person that's not born again, or a person that is born again that's going through a hard time, I'll tell you, that word of prophecy is a great thing. I think that's what a lot of times, those couple of times I saw that happen where the guy pointed people out in the crowd, so important. And I'll show signs in heavens above, earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon shall be turned to blood before the great coming and the great notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. That's us. And that's for you today. I just want to invite you to consider something. If you're a Christian, I want you to really say, Lord, have I really asked you to fill me with your power? And if you haven't, today's your day. Because we're going to pray for that. All those listening around the United States and around the world, we're going to pray for that. We need, as Christians, to be moved and directed by the Holy Spirit. It's not just we're saved and we have heaven for us when we die, but God's got a great purpose and work for all of us here while we're here. If you've never, ever asked God to do that, now if you're not a Christian, the first thing you need to do is get right with God. You need to ask Christ in your life. Why? Because you're living life your way. You're living life in the gray. And your life is not defined. You're going to live your whole life only to get to heaven to find out nothing you did mean anything. So you need to repent. Every day is precious. Every day God's saying, I have a reward for you in being about my business. So rather than using your talents and your abilities for yourself, I look at some of the musicians of the past year that have died. Some ones that are really good, some ones that I really kind of like their music. And yet I think about it and I think, what a tragic loss that all that talent, their ability, their understanding of music never glorified the one that made them, only to die and leave this earth bankrupt. So, we must be born again, Jesus said. How do we become born again? The Bible says that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, you'll be saved. Well, that's a pretty neat deal, because I've got a message now. See, before it was just kind of, hey, what you doing? I don't know, man. Donald Duck is cool. You know. Now I have a message. See, we have a message for a lost world. I just want to encourage you today. Live by the Spirit of God. Let Him direct you. When we pray, say, okay, God, open, close the doors according to your best for my life today. And the Bible says that He will. What He'll do? Put people in my life that you want me to talk to. Take out of my life the people you don't want me to talk to. That's as important. And let God use you. And then you'll begin to see, wow, that happened. I don't know how it happened, but I know it wasn't me. And you know, there's not a better experience that you can experience in your life than to know that you've been used by God. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, you know, that experience, you know, man, we did some LSD, man, and the walls were melding into the floor in color. Yeah, well, that's an experience. And you just killed about 5 billion brain cells. Don't know how many you had when you started, but you got 5 billion less now. But when you've been used by God and you see what has happened, you go, wow, that's awesome. And you know what I have found? It's addictive. God used me once. Use me again and again and again. What do you think motivated people? Peter and Paul and the disciples, insomuch that they would have been martyred for their faith because they knew where they were at was real. In other words, they couldn't lie because of the dynamics of what God did in their life. Remember, again, as an example, they were in Peter was in prison, and they were all praying that he would be released from prison. At night, we remember an angel come, popped him on the leg, shackles fell off. Let's go. Get up, walk right past the guard that's sleeping. They show up at the house. He knocks on the door. Girl freaks out. She thought it was Peter's ghost. Thought he had already been executed. You see, that kind of stuff is neat. And that kind of stuff I remember. And I'll tell you, the things that God uses you in, supernaturally fired up, will change your life, and you'll always remember it. Friends, when I've seen the miracles of God, it changed my life. As an example, as clear as if it would have happened earlier this morning, that curtain blowing up, and my friend looking said, in the name of Jesus, wind, die, and it just died. And I go, wow, that's awesome. Now, was he a super spiritual giant? Well, maybe. Didn't come across that way, just came across as Kevin. But it's for you. God doesn't have favorites. That's the whole point of reading his word. God loves us. God's got a gift for you today. If you're not saved, let's pray. Let's get that taken care of. And then we're going to ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And see what God's going to do in your life different than he's ever done before. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you to come into my life. I want my life to be about you from this day on. And I repent of the foolish way that I have lived. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood covered my sins. And so I'm new in you. I ask you now to make me more like you each and every day. And now for all of us, Father, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Yes, the same Holy Spirit that we find here in Acts chapter 2. That same part of the Trinity God that empowered the disciples to stand up and go through hardship and yet at the same time amaze the world by the power that you put in them. Father, we ask you that you would fill us in Jesus' name. Father, warm our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, warm our hands right now. Fire us up. Allow us to see life through your eyes, not through our own anymore. And Lord, the same power that we find in the Bible is available for every one of us listening today, that you will do exactly what your word says you will do. So now, in Jesus' name, empower us at this moment. That we'll never see life the way we did before. And Lord, those that have, Christians that have allowed the cares of this world to overwhelm them, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will rekindle that fire in our heart. Rekindle that fire on our hands in Jesus' name so we can be about your business. Our feet, our hands, our mouth, they're your words. They're your body for your word today. So may we represent you well. And we love you and we thank you for doing this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.